Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 279 of Bat Flips and Maple Dips. It's Patrick right here. He's Justin over there. And Justin, now that we're finally into the part where players have reported, there's all kinds of fun little stories that pop up, and I'm all about that. How do you feel?
I am into it. I like it too. It's fun to get a little bit of an insight into the behind the scenes, off the field side of the team. So I'm all for it. And the more we get, the happier I am.
Yeah, when is the first Grapefruit League game?
Like a week, not even. I think they start next weekend, or this coming weekend. I guess it is Monday today. It feels weird to be off on a Monday.
We can start hinging our mental health exclusively on the performance of the fringe level players that will be popping into those lineups.
The first game is in fact Saturday the 24th. So
who against who?
The Philadelphia Phillies.
I wish it was against someone more interesting, but okay. Fun. I'm excited, though. We've got a little bit of news, and then we have a bunch of anecdotal stuff that's come up. And naturally, a lot of our conversations in the early parts of spring training are lifted up by the efforts of the journalists who are currently in Florida covering the team, like Keegan Matheson. I'm excited. Let's chat about stuff. Let's chat about who's reported and who's arrived and what kind of swag they have. And then also maybe a little bit about who's left and in the free agency pool and maybe who might be a good fit for the Toronto Blue Jays. Justin, take us into the news.
Okay, yeah. So we'll touch on a couple of we'll talk about a former Blue Jay first before we get into the Blue Jay stuff. Free agent left-handed pitcher Hyunjin Ryu is said to be entertaining an offer from his ex KBO club, the Hanwha Eagles. He latched pitch for them from 06 to 2012. They still have the rights to Ryu, who left via MLB posting. Ryu had always said that he would like to finish his career at the Eagles, but will that start this year? Who knows? And that is from Jiho Yu at Jiho_1 on Twitter. So I don't know about you, Patrick. I know we chatted a bit about this via messaging this morning, but I'm not surprised by this at all. I was hopeful that Ryu would at least get an MLB offer somewhere this year. Whether he has or not remains to be seen. But I think I think teams are hesitant. I mean, the velo is a concern in today's MLB. He was only able to go like more than four innings a couple of times. Not the kind of guy you would want facing an order for a third time anymore. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by this. It was great that he was able to come back. We talked about it many times last year, how he had no obligation to rehab as hard as he did from Tommy John surgery to pitch last year, but he did it anyway. And obviously left the Blue Jays on an incredibly high note and will be remembered fondly by fans for how he pitched in his first couple seasons and also how he came back. So I'm happy for him. I hope wherever he goes, that he pitches well and has a happy ending into his career. So I'm done. That's all I got.
I'm surprised he didn't get an MLB offer, because I still think he could pitch an MLB. I would imagine the asking price might be a little bit higher than what teams are comfortable with. But, you know, he's in his mid to late 30s. A return to a team that he said he wanted to finish with.
Right.
Is pretty logical.
Yeah.
He will absolutely be, like, super fondly remembered amongst the Jays audience. It sucks because could he have gone one more year? Yeah, probably. But it's like you said, there's like a downtick in his velocity.
Yeah.
Also coming back like that. I mean, he only gave us like a small number of innings. It wasn't like a world-breaking amount, but he made a big difference down the stretch. And I don't think that could be easily replicated. Probably still has it, but, you know, good for him for choosing the direction he wants to go in rather than chasing more money. Zero regrets about the 4-year deal we got him on. Zero regrets on how everything went down. I was happy from the start. Love the guy.
Yeah.
And I think he actually opened up the door. He was the first, right? He was the first big signing.
He was, yeah. And before that 2020 COVID year, the 4-year, $80 million deal was kind of the beginning of the deals for Gausman, Springer, extending Berríos, bringing in Bassett. Yeah, so it was kind of the beginning to the current spending era of the Blue Jays anyway. So,
yeah. Would you say that Ryu was worth the $80 million?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I agree as well, if only because it dramatically improved the profile of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think $80 million worth, but then you factor in what he did on the field and...
And off it. Yeah. I mean, he was a huge mentor for Alek Manoah in his rookie year and subsequent season. So I think he was a really good veteran to bring into the clubhouse. Even though like wasn't a big public guy, he kind of strikes me like this is a different conversation we can get into, but I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter, they're like, oh yeah, Bo Bichette is actually the face of the Blue Jays. Publicly the face of the franchise is still Vladdy, but for me, I think behind closed doors, outside of like veterans like say Springer, Gausman, Bassett, I think Bo is kind of like the private face of the team, more so. He's not as publicly like outspoken as a guy like Vladdy. He doesn't have the larger than life personality that Vladdy has, the MLB The Show cover that Vladdy has. You know, like Vladdy is the marketable guy more so, even though Bo is highly marketable because he's super talented. But I think that he's more reserved than Vladdy publicly. But I think privately, Bo is like one of the guys who was like the leader on the team. He even was one of the guys who was like, I want to see Justin Turner signed. And then they went out and signed him. So
what I like the most about Bo, other than the fact that he's a tremendous athlete who plays really well for my team, is the fact that he does a lot of philanthropic work. And
yes.
He does it very quietly. He
Love
does
that.
Not.
Love that.
He does not. Display it. Vladdy doesn't really do it. He does it very quietly as well.
Yeah, I think that's the best way for these guys to do it. I mean, obviously, when you do philanthropic work, you do it for the good of the community and not for personal gain. So, love that. A quick thing about Bo Bichette while we're here. John Morosi, friend of the Blue Jays community. Bo Bichette told me his most important adjustment has been mental. Previously, he thought he needed to throw like shortstops he'd watched in the past. Now he simply wants to use his natural motion. The result was a 2023 of truer, more accurate throws. And I mean, we've talked about that before. These guys are still incredibly young, even though every year they obviously get a little bit older. Like Bo Bichette is now 26, just had his 26th birthday.
Actually is 26th
birthday.
It's
coming up,
is
sorry.
March.
Yeah,
it's
March
the
5th. Yeah.
March the 5th. Sorry to fact check you
yeah.
like that, but
it's all good. Yeah. Vladdy's is coming up too.
Yeah.
They're right around the same time because Vladdy is the 16th. So Bo will be 26. Vladdy will be 25. Like these guys are still really young, even though they have like 5 years of major league experience now, 5 seasons worth at least, partially.
This wasn't really
yeah, it's crazy.
This wasn't discussed really at any point, but if you do a deeper dive into Bo Bichette and his defensive performance, the difference between 2022 and 2023 is quite dramatic.
Yeah, we talked about it a few times last year. Yeah.
He went from being a below average defensive fielder to probably about an average, maybe a little bit above average defensive shortstop. He is he's only been in the bigs since 2019. Really, his first full year was 2021, which was only 3 seasons ago. So, you know, he's impressive. It's impressive how quickly he improved defensively.
Agreed.
I think this year will be a breakout year for him. Although last year, he definitely got things figured out at the plate. He hit 306, which was a career high. He He's a career 299 hitter. However, I also think that this will also be a year where we see more power from Bo. Going into camp, best shape of his life, blah, 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 blah. I think that the numbers we saw in 2021, where he hit 29 home runs and 102 RBIs and stole 25 bases, that's still very much on the table for 26-year-old Bo. Yeah, so
the stolen bases, maybe not so much, but...
Maybe not, but I do think the power is there, and he's just got such a good swing, and he's very aggressive. He knows, though, his role is not to smash the ball. It's to make contact and get on base, and he does that extremely well. So I'm excited about more Bo. I'm starting to get nervous about the lack of an extension, but we don't have to talk about that right now. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yesterday, Patrick, or today, I guess, sorry, is the 19th, is the official reporting day for position players for the Blue Jays this season. So everybody who hadn't already arrived early, guys like Vladdy showed up today, as well as a new signing minor league deal, Daniel Vogelbach, showed up today. The Jays have signed both Daniel Vogelbach and Eduardo Escobar, who is an infielder. Lots of a couple of veterans to minor league deals with invites to spring training. Curious what you thought, what your thoughts on this, Patrick. Are these just depth signings for camp, or is there more to these two signings?
No, they're depth.
Depth.
If one of these guys ends up playing any MLB time, it's because there was an injury.
Right.
They were both signed to minor league deals, which means the team is under no obligation to have them on the 26-man roster.
Yep.
No, nor will they be. The 26-man is pretty much set. I don't think there's anybody who's fighting for a spot outside of maybe Orelvis, but that would come at the cost of, like, Spencer Horowitz. There's just no space left on the roster, barring a trade or something like that. But
sure. Yeah,
both these guys are a little bit older. They'll be a great presence in camp. They will help push some of the younger players, and both of them would probably prefer to be released by the end of camp.
I would say that's probably the case, yeah.
Yeah, if they have good camps, because then they could end up getting signed by a team like Oakland or Kansas City or one of the other lower-tier teams that are looking to kind of complete a roster but are still missing key players. Vogelbach is kind of interesting because he's got plus power, but he's not particularly quick, and most teams already have a first baseman. I don't know. It might be an interesting situation where he could theoretically exclusively DH on a team like Detroit that already has a first baseman.
Yeah.
But again, I don't understand. Like, first of all, he won't play for the Jays. He'll go through spring training unless there's an injury. If there is an injury, then yes, he would. But I would expect both these guys to be gone out of the organization by the end of spring training if they have good spring trainings, with the idea that they're there to participate and then be good enough to warrant attention from other teams to get a contract. And that's it. There's no way either of these two guys will make the team just because there's nowhere for them to play. They're just kind of their depth.
Yeah.
And they're good depth, too. Eduardo Escobar isn't, at 35 years old, his best baseball has probably already happened. But he's not, it's not like he's that far removed from a great season 2 years ago. He hit 28 home runs and had 90 RBIs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, we've talked about it before, how at ages in the mid-30s, the decline comes fast.
Yeah, it did last year for him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's it could be, you could see a bounce back. I mean, you got guys like Justin Turner who are the opposite, who are still producing, and when they were 39 last year, you know, like it is possible for guys to, or 38 last year, excuse me, when they're, it's still possible for guys to play well, but to expect them to come in and be what they were when they were 30 or 29 is probably unrealistic. No.
These guys will be a great veteran presence in spring training, and
100%.
This is an opportunity for them to prove that they have something to the teams that are still looking for those positions. A first baseman is probably less likely. I would imagine, though, that for Vogelbach, he probably sees this as like, worst case scenario, I'm in Buffalo. If I can't get anyone to sign, if I can't find anywhere to play in the bigs this year. That'd probably be fine. The only thing is, does that take away time from the first baseman they're trying to develop within the organization? And if you look at it, that would be Spencer Horowitz, Rainer Nunez, Peyton Williams. Those guys are in double A, but Spencer's probably going to make this team. So they would kind of need a triple A first baseman, especially if Horowitz makes his team, which he is projected to. I don't care what Fangraphs says. anyway. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but there's nothing wrong with either one of these signings at all. And I think all the bluster about them signing these guys, but not signing Cody Bellinger or not signing Matt Chapman, it is just kind of demonstrates a fundamental misunderstanding
of how these signings
are. Yeah. Or of how signings work, or how money works, or how managing a team works. But anyway, we don't have to get into that. I'm happy with them. I think they're great, and I hope both of them find their way onto major league teams. I just don't see either of them being a member of the Jays after the end of March.
Right.
Or whenever the Grapefruit League is over.
Agreed. Okay, next. Speaking of this topic, too, Scott Mitchell did have a great take on Twitter earlier today as well, too. He said, I'm getting to the point where I'm wondering why the Blue Jays don't just play some of the kids and see if they sink or swim. If Escobar gets runtime over Barger and Aurelvis, Vogelbach means Horowitz is in AAA, I might have a take. These zero-risk MILBs are fine, but these prospects need opportunities. And you just mentioned it, right? Like, if Spencer Horowitz is on the team, yeah, the Bisons do need a AAA first baseman. If Vogelbach wants to be a Blue Jay, for example, like maybe he signed here because he wants to play for the Jays. You know, like maybe he has to start in Buffalo. It's just maybe a matter of fact, you know, like there's no room right now for a major league guy who can only hit against one hand of the plate. Like the Jays have enough, they have a hard enough time on their bench right now with guys like Espinal and Biggio and IKF. Like there's a crowd right now, and Vogelbach does not fit into that mold of utility guys. So
there are a lot of questions that need to be answered before we get to the regular season. And it's making me like, I don't want to say like nervous, but like,
tell me about Nate Pearson. What's he up to this winter?
This is interesting because we had spoke a couple of times about how Nate needs another pitch.
Yeah.
Because he can't just throw nothing but fastballs, and his other off-speed stuff isn't working, or isn't very effective. Whatever you want to say. Anyway, so Keegan Matheson at Keegan Matheson on Twitter said that Nate is working on adding a splitter. And this is Pete Walker kind of giving us the details, saying that it's a work in progress. And of course, naturally, a lot of praise about Nate from Walker. Quote, I think he's in a really good place to have a great spring and really help us out this year. It's kind of interesting that he would say that because, again, when you look at the bullpen, there's not really any free space unless something happens to Mitch White and or Trevor Richards and or Chad Green. So what is it that he's trying to say? I don't know.
I'm not sure, actually. It's good for Nate, I guess, to try to do something different because the things that he's been doing the last couple of seasons obviously haven't helped him have success at the big league level. So I'm glad that he's at least taking some steps to address that, I guess, is the right way to put it. It'll be interesting to see if the pitch is actually any good. Like, I don't know what to expect.
That last bullpen spot, you have to think that is going to be Yariel Rodriguez, which means that they had got to figure out what they're going to do with Mitch White, because I don't think he clears after.
Not anymore, yeah.
No, not after his excellent performance at the end of the season in Buffalo. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if there is anything to do other than send him on down, I guess. But I don't know, man. This is an interesting puzzle of sorts.
Yeah.
That is developing out of camp, is that there's five rotation spots, and then you can only carry 8 relievers, and all 5 rotation spots are pretty much spoken for, and at least 7 out of the 8 bullpen spots are spoken for. Everybody except for Mitch White has options as far as the hodgepodge we've spoken about before.
Yep.
So, I mean, we can just rapid fire. Yariel Rodriguez, I would assume he would have one option. Bowden Francis still has options for another year. Wes Parsons is getting close to the end of the runway. He has one more year of options. And then looking at the relievers, it would be Zulueta, who has 2 years left. Hagen Donner has one left. Nate Pearson has one left. And Zach Pop has one left. And then it gets real sketchy. Brendan Little, the guy that we picked up from the Cubbies,
yep,
the lefty, he still has 3 years of options, so he's probably not even on the radar to make this team at all. But they're really coming to a point where the decisions are going to have to be made, and I don't think you have to worry too much about where Zulueta plays this year. I mean, he has appeared in that, like, prospect or future stars game twice, but I think the most recent one might have been erroneously. But anyway, it didn't make any sense there. You're going to have to trade guys, and who are you going to trade out of the bullpen? It's right. Not going to be Romano or Swanson or Meza.
Nope.
So it's got to be Garcia, Green, Cabrera, Richards, or White. I don't know. I would love to trade or consider trading Chad Green. That's a big contract, and also I don't have that trust, because we didn't see him very much last year. And he would be a good, steady veteran hand on another team. I don't think he has to fit in on this team. And I really think Bowden Francis needs to be the long man in the pen this year. But anyway, it'll all be figured out at some point.
There's still, the games haven't started yet. Nobody's hurt except for Biggio's tendonitis. Like, there's a long way to go.
Nate has to be pretty close to the bottom of the pecking order at this time, given that all the slots for the bullpen are currently occupied. Like, I just don't know how you justify sending Mitch White down with no options when Nate still has options. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I feel you. Kevin Kiermaier, Patrick, this is what he's had to say on returning to the Blue Jays this year. Toronto treated me like a king last year. My wife was crying her eyes out when we left after last season. She didn't want to leave. My kids loved it. They talk about the CN Tower all the time. They can't wait to go back. So it's a guy who obviously, yeah, the Jays fans did treat Kevin Kiermaier like a king last year. He was instantly a fan favorite. It also helps when you take away a home run on like the first at bat of the game to start a season off. That endears you to a fan base pretty much immediately. So I think that definitely helped the Jays fans to embrace him last year. So pretty easy guy to like as well too. Plays hard, good guy in the clubhouse. Yeah, always eager to like give the fans props kind of thing. So I think that definitely led to a lot of love for KK last year. So glad to see him back.
Didn't he won a Gold Glove last year, didn't he?
He sure did.
Yeah, I and this is the year for both him and George Springer to get that 10 years of service time.
That's correct, yeah, get their pensions wrapped up.
Same with the Gas Man.
Yep.
Kevin Gossman will reach the 10 years this year too. So as long as all three are healthy, they'll get to 10 years service time to lock in that veteran pension.
Yes, sir.
Which is very underrated. Most people don't talk about it, but... And it's not really relevant to our analysis of the team, but it is interesting to kind of see three guys are kind of right there. And Jimmy Garcia is not that far behind, although he cannot reach it this year.
Right.
But still, I mean, and these are all guys who make up the guts of the team, like Springer. I love George Springer. He's going to be 35 this year. Looking at what their Fangraphs is projecting him to do, do you think he can still pull it off?
Oh yeah, I think I've got a big. I'm betting on a big bounce back year for Springer this year. Not betting financially, betting like that it's gonna happen.
I'm trying to figure out what his OPSs have been. He last year was the first year since 2018 that he didn't crack 800 on the OPS. Remember how he had a disastrous April. Couldn't get anything going in April.
Yeah.
Springer. I love it. I would love it. I would be so happy if this was the comeback year for George Springer. Man, there's so many guys on this team that we're expecting a lot more than what they've previously shown to have done. And it just makes me really nervous. I have no idea what to expect from the bottom, like, five guys of the order. Like, it's just, I don't know what's going to happen. You think Kevin Biggio's going to hit fifth?
I sure hope not. I mean, maybe against right-handed pitching, but not every day.
Oh, man. David Schneider needs to be in the lineup more than what Fangraphs projects him to be.
I need to see David Schneider do well in the spring before I'm ready to anoint him the second coming of Christ, because the sample size last year was too small and he finished the season not great. So I'm not saying I don't want him to be on the team. I want him to be on this 26 man roster. I think he proved that much that he can, but he has to also play well in the spring to be awarded that. He's not just going to be given to him.
No, of course not. Yeah. Moving on. I think we should talk a little bit about the who's left story.
Yeah, there's still a lot of them.
There is quite a bit. There are a lot of players, actually, still yet to have signed. I do want to mention something that came up anecdotally from Jesse Rogers at ESPN.
Yep.
Cubs owner Tom Ricketts mentioned free agent Cody Bellinger. The quote is, there's been some discussions, but it hasn't become a negotiation yet. It is February the 19th. Guys are reporting to their teams, and there's still an MLB-quality team worth of free agents left who have not been signed. And quite a few of the higher-profile ones all belong to the same agent. Mm-hmm. That's neither here nor there. Justin, at this point, Cody Bellinger hasn't signed anywhere. A lot of people think that he'll end up on a 1 year with Chicago at this point because there just weren't any bites.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not crazy at all. It's probably the sanest thing that's happened this offseason. But it's just kind of interesting how not even the Cubs are giving him a look, and he doesn't have a team. It's February 19th. He does not have a team. Grapefruit League starts in a week.
Yeah.
Cactus League starts in a week. You got to think that something is going to happen with both him and Chapman within the next 7 days, right?
I mean, you would like to think anyway. Yeah, it should probably.
It would be very strange.
Yep.
And it would also put them behind quite a bit. You would have to think, like, once you get to that, like 1 or 2 or 3 days away, like, eventually one of these guys is going to have to tell their agents, like, I need a deal now. Like, even if it's 1 year, you know. And if you're Atkins, do you pick up the phone? If it's like, yeah, Chappie wants 1 year, 1 year, 20 million.
Yeah.
Do you do it?
Yeah, 100%.
Cody Bellinger wants 1 year, 15 million. Do you do it?
Yep.
So the quality of the players and the problem, it's all about term at this point.
I think it's about term, and it's probably a little bit about the where as well, too, I would say. I think a lot of these guys likely have teams they do not want to sign with, perhaps, and that could be an issue too, is that the teams that they're interested in maybe aren't reciprocating that. So,
well, we know that both the Yankees and the Cubs have been, and the Jays have been, in and around Bellinger,
right?
And we know that Chapman has probably had very informal discussions with the Jays. But there was some rumor and innuendo about the Seattle Mariners being interested in Matt Chapman, which doesn't make any sense because they have done almost nothing but sell players over the last 3 seasons when they're not trading or offloading their talent. And they just traded away Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, and they just keep doing things that make absolutely zero sense. I don't understand. Like, are they trying to compete? Are they trying to, like, retool? Like, what's the deal here? Like, because these guys just can't make up their friggin' minds. They just seem to want to go where the wind blows them every day. I don't know what the deal is, man. It's crazy.
That's what I don't understand about Seattle is, like, and they were not that far off from the playoffs last year, right?
No, they just missed it. Yeah.
They just missed it, and all of a sudden
they just missed their division. Like, they were close until the last week when they lost all those games to Houston. Like,
they missed the wild card by one game.
Yeah.
You know, the Jays lose one extra game, and Seattle wins an extra game.
Yeah.
And guess who makes the playoffs? Actually, they win 2 games. They win the bloody division.
Exactly. Yeah, they were there. And, I mean, I don't get it. Yeah, that franchise continues to baffle me because everything that their ownership does, it just seems to contradict the last move that they made every time. So
it's very like panicky. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. And we're not just trying to talk down on Seattle signing Chapman because we want the Jays to sign Chapman.
No, it's actually just like confusion. Crazy.
Yeah, well, look at what they did. They traded away Eric Swanson to get Teoscar Hernandez. Then they non-tendered right. Teoscar Hernandez.
Right.
They traded away Paul Sewald to Arizona.
Yeah.
And they traded Eugenio Suarez to Arizona.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand. Is it because Arizona is just super savvy? I mean, they definitely won the Varsho trade. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that for the 9 millionth time on this podcast. But yeah, it's just, it's a weird time where there are still lots of players left and time is running out for them to find a team for the year.
Blake Snell's still out there. Yeah, Bellinger, Chapman. Those are like the big three guys who are left. Then you've got your guys like JD Martinez who are still out there as well, who could probably still provide a lot of value to a team who needs offense, which, I mean, the Jays are that team right now, but they already have Justin Turner, so that kind of takes them out of the JD Martinez thing.
The only way at this point the Jays make a move, I think, is if they make a trade. And it's going to have to be they package 2 or 3 MLB-ready players now in exchange for one to open up the spot on the 26-man.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
So, and if that's the case, what is their target?
Just trade Espinal for cash considerations. The Jays love making those kind of moves.
At this point, I mean, if you go through the depth chart, you have to think if they're going to trade for any position, it must be for a third baseman, and it must be that you're trading at least 1 or 2 utility players to do it.
Right.
And if you're doing that, then who's your target?
Right.
And it's like, I don't under. You look around the the better third baseman in baseball, and most of them either have a no trade deal or they're way too expensive.
Yeah, it sure is confusing.
Or they're too old. So if they were to sign Matt Chapman, first of all, somebody has to get DFA'd.
Yep.
And who is it?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. That's the thing. If they sign Bellinger,
same issue.
Actually, Spencer Horowitz probably is the guy that catches a stray.
I don't think he gets DFA. There's definitely guys.
No, he'll be option because he has options.
Oh, yeah. Still. Yeah, options,
but
yes.
I'm saying he'll lose out on MLB playing time, but that also kerfrigs up the order as well. That means Cavan must be taking less PAs because there's only three outfield positions on any given day. You know what I mean? Like you're, and Bellinger, you would have to think would want to, you know, be in at least 130 games if you're paying him. So I mean, it's at this point it doesn't feel like another signing is coming for the Jays. Matt Chapman returning would be welcome at this point because there's so too much uncertainty.
Yeah.
With what they currently have for utility players. Really, it just kind of makes the IKF signing even more baffling to me, where you're paying $9 million for a guy who has like a 660 OPS, but you didn't want to pay Matt Chapman $20 million.
Right. Yeah, it's weird.
Like, what? Okay, I guess. Is IKF's defense really that good?
It's allegedly great, yeah.
Oh my God, I just don't understand. And this isn't just about the IKF deal, it's just it doesn't make sense to me. The team just has no open spaces right now to sign any more players, and they really should consider doing it anyway to pull the trigger, just to have it done. And also, by signing these guys, it prevents them from signing with the Yankees, and you definitely don't want any of the remaining free agents to sign with the Yankees. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know, man. Mike Trout, Patrick. This guy, I don't understand what he's doing. He told people that he doesn't want to be traded. He says that maybe one day he sees it right now as the easy way out, and he says he's still trying to convince Angels ownership to trade for or to sign one of the remaining big free agents. I just don't know what Mike Trout is trying to prove here. Like, I mean, I understand loyalty. Loyalty is great, but loyalty is only great if both parties reciprocate it, and the Angels have for years made just awful, awful decisions. Like, they, of course, bringing in Shohei is great. Obviously, they were able to get him, but they weren't able to keep him. And obviously, you know that where he ended up now. But I mean, it's just the fact that they haven't won anything. They've made the playoffs one time in Mike Trout's career. One of the best players ever. I mean, injuries have slowed down like the greatest of all time talk conversation, but still like top player ever. And they haven't done anything with him. They've wasted his entire career. And I just don't understand.
Here's why the Angels suck. They signed Anthony Rendon to a 7-year, $245 million deal in 2020 to come play for them. And since then, he has played a grand total of 200 games for them in those four seasons. And he has amassed 3.6 F war in that time. 2.5 of that was in 2020 in 52 games.
Right.
Anthony Rendon is still very good in terms of his like plate vision, I guess you could say. Like he can generate walks. He's not going to strike out a lot. His batting average has plummeted. The guy doesn't seem very interested in playing baseball anymore either. So they're stuck with this albatross of a contract. It feels like now is the perfect time for the Angels to just jettison everything and just restart. Because Anthony Rendon, you can go read the interview that he did recently. It was pretty disappointing. Especially if you're an Angels fan, that's got to be depressing.
No kidding.
But Mike Trout being super devout, loyal to the team. He's saying all the right things. But you got to think, like, he's 31, 32.
He deserves so much better.
He deserves better, but it's like he's not doing anything.
Yeah, he's not helping himself.
He's not helping himself. Dude needs a fresh start.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, if he ever wants to win, I don't see it being in L.A., you know? I mean, it's...
No.
Obviously, he's getting his bread. He's getting the money. That's not an issue for him. And now he should be thinking about winning. Wherever he goes, the contract's going to follow him. He's going to get that money. So I don't know why he wouldn't try. Like, what's there to lose? I mean, people may say, oh, like, you betrayed the Angels or whatever. But at the same time, like, can you really fault him? Like, what if he's given them everything over his entire career, and what has he gotten in return? Like, nothing for it. So I don't know, it's tough.
What do you think it would take to get Mike Trout onto the Toronto Blue Jays?
Oh god, I see, that's the other problem, is like, what do you give up for him? I mean, he's one of the greatest players ever. He's nowhere near the end of his deal, so it's just, I don't know, man. Like, his contract, he's through 2030, so he still has another 6 years, including this season. So it's just like, what do you pay for a guy who's 32, hasn't played more than 119 games since 2019 now? Like,
certainly fit many of the needs of this team.
He would fit in needs of every team. Like, every team could use Mike Trout. There's not a team in Major League Baseball who couldn't use Mike Trout. And even though he hasn't been healthy for full seasons, when he has played, like, he played 119 games in 2022 and was worth 6 WAR. Like, it's he had a 176 WRC plus that year. And 2021, he was insane, off to an insanely hot start. He had a 189 WRC plus. In 36 games, Patrick, he was worth 2.2 WAR on Fangraphs. You multiply that by 5 over a full season, it's a 10 WAR player again. Like, it's like, when he plays, he's still like a GOAT level player, but he has to stay healthy, and that's been the issue for him. So I'm really rooting for Mike Trout. I love the guy. One of my favorite players to watch, regardless of what team he's on. I'm sad it's the Angels, but at the same time, it's like, I respect the loyalty. I really do. But at the end of the day, I would love to see Mike Trout get a chance to play meaningful baseball beyond July, because the Angels always choke. And I don't know, man. I just don't understand what the holdup is. He's been there for like 13 years now, something like that. It's just like, dude, what's the holdup here? Why are we stuck on this team? Yeah.
He should request a trade.
Yeah.
He should. He should try to get off that team, but I don't know. The man is fine with getting paid, I guess. This is, I think, the problem with the Angels is that the motivation is has died off. And now Otani is gone, so there's no future.
Yeah, the air definitely came out of their sails.
Basically, what they need, I think they just need to do a full-on rebuild. Yep. There's no way to get rid of Trey Anthony Vladdy, Rendon's Trey contract. No, I mean, like, but for the Angels, I think it's got to be... Well, the other thing is that the Angels have also experienced, aside from being mediocre, Anthony Rendon kind of... took the wind out of their sails.
I mean, they had a mega deal with Pujols that they signed, and he never delivered on anything in that contract either. So
they also had to deal with the very untimely passing of a beloved player, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably a big hit. So basically, the last 5 years of being an LA Angels fan is like living a country song in over the course of 5 years. You know what I mean? Everything is going wrong.
There's a lot of self-inflicted wounds with the bad contracts, but some circumstantial things that are highly unfortunate too, of course. But at the end of the day, they've had Mike Trout has been a regular for them since 2012. and they've made the playoffs one time.
Yep. Yep. Also, they lost Ohtani for nothing.
They should have traded him in 2022 season, when they still had a full year of control to give away. They could have gotten
would have been done.
Yeah, they could have gotten 3 top 100 prospects plus 2 major league graded players. Like, they could have gotten look what the Padres traded for Juan Soto to the Nationals. The Angels could have gotten double that for a guy who does 2 things at MVP level caliber, you know? Like, yeah, it's self-inflicted wounds, like I just said, right? Like, there's certain things that they should have done, and they chose to try to get into a wild card 3 spot 2 years in a row, and failed miserably both of those years. So,
yeah, it's depressing.
Brutal.
I don't want to talk about the Angels anymore.
Yeah,
the Jays have their own problems, and a lot of these are probably going to be solved by the time the next time we record. So it could be a very interesting week for us. Justin, any final thoughts?
No, man. I'm looking forward to seeing more news out of camp this week, now that everybody is there. I want to know who is, in fact, in the best shape of their life. I'm very eager to learn after, because it's player physicals day today. So I want to know exactly who's in the best shape of their life. I want to hear about every aspect of it. I'm very much looking forward to seeing some spring training baseball next week. I enjoy watching spring training. I don't care about the results, but I love seeing, like we talked about Nate Pearson's splitter. I love seeing like what he's done in the off season to see if it's better. Like, you know, if it worked. I want to see Ricky Tiedemann mowing people down. I want to see Vladdy just mashing dingers. I'm excited to watch Alek Manoah pitch. I hope that he's back to 2022 Alek Manoah, because nothing would please me more, honestly. I'm very eager. There's so many interesting storylines. As much as we're kind of bemoaning the lack of high profile off season moves that this team didn't make, there's a lot of competition for very, very, very few roster spots. That's about to unfold here over the next 5 weeks, and I'm here for it. I'm excited.
Yep, can't wait for Grapefruit League to start. Let's go.
Let's go, Blue Jays. Yeah, for Patrick out in Halifax, I'm Justin here in Saskatoon, and we will see you next time.